Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
It's Mr. Ben Arrington.
That sounds beautiful. Absolutely lovely.
Oh, thank you. I've been practicing that.
Good. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Wondrous. You're not sure? You don't sound sure. Are you chilly?
No, I'm good. No, I'm fine. Okay. A little bit, but I'm sure talking about horror movies will warm you up.
It'll warm the cockles.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll warm your testes.
I've got some news.
Oh, all right, okay.
You got any news?
Straight in there.
Yeah, that's how I play.
Some horror news. I'll let you go first, mate, because I haven't got any really, really big chunks of juicy horror news, so maybe you've got something more delectable than me.
I've got a little horror news nugget here for you. Horror news.
Lovely.
Chicken nugget. It's have you ever seen that film Pandora? It's a 10-year anniversary of Pandora.
Yes, yes,
this
indeed.
Film Pandorum.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Pandorum. That's what I meant to say, but it came out as Pandora. Pandorum.
There's me going. Have I got it wrong? Has he got it wrong? Has someone got it wrong? Is Pandorum. This with Ben Foster? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Like no one talks about this film at all, and I think it's pretty like solid. It's not perfect, but it's Ben Foster, it's Douglas Quaid. It's got Norman Reedus in it, and some other folks.
Yep.
It's got like a Descent thing going on, Ghost of Mars thing going on, and it's got a really killer sci-fi twist at the end that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. It's dark. It's got cannibalism and stuff, and crazy creatures, and people are losing their minds and sort of Lovecraftian way. It's cool. It's definitely worth a watch if you've not.
When's the last time you saw this film, Luke? Because I've never seen it.
I thought you had seen it. Oh, is that Pandora you're talking about? I thought you seen it.
I'm talking about Pandora, yeah, Pandora's box. No, I've never seen it.
For me and Katie said on DVD from CEX back in the day.
why don't we do an episode on it? What do you reckon?
I'm up for it. And we could do an episode on the podcast as well.
Well, that's a 10-year anniversary. Why not? Let's do it next week.
Are we doing Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, then Pandorum. There we go. We're planning ahead.
Deal. What other news have we got? I've got news really other than that, but David Nesbitt in the Facebook group recommends Haunt. So Anna hadn't even heard of that film before. It's kind of like news. So,
okay. New? Old?
New,
yeah, 2019.
You said it's worth a go. So I just wanted to give it a quick shout out. So, yeah, I'll watch that if I can find it somewhere.
So it only came out in the US last month. So, interesting. Any other news? So apparently HBO have ordered a Maniac Cop TV series from Nicholas Winding Refn.
Windy Refn,
Windy Refn, So a series, an adaptation of a 1988 film. It's been given a green light. Maniac Cop is told through the kaleidoscope of characters from cop to common criminal. A killer in uniform has uncaged mayhem upon the streets. Paranoia leads to social disorder as a city wrestles with the mystery of the exterminator in blue. Is he mere mortal or a supernatural force? Don't know why I did that.
Have you seen Maniac Cop?
I'm pretty sure I have, but it's one of those, you know, when you're a bit like, well, I probably could do with rewatching it.
It's not amazing, but I can see why people would like it. It's got a blanket on the name.
Maniac Cop in it.
Yeah, it's got a Maniac Cop in it. What's his name? The Chin. Bruce Campbell. It's got Bruce Campbell in it.
Bruce Campbell. Yeah. All right, okay. Who's he in it?
A cop, but he's not a maniac cop. He's like a normal, sane cop.
And now, the sequel, Normal Cop.
It kind of plays into that whole sort of fear of, you know, cops who beat people up and kill them and sort of overuse their... fighting sticks,
fighting sticks. So that could be pretty interesting. Nicholas Winding Refn, it should be, you know, he's got a very distinct visual style. Well, distinct style in general, isn't he? I say visual just because his films can be a bit quiet, can't they? Apart from soundtrack, people are staring wistfully out of a window
sniffing.
As they drive along at night, sniffing, licking their lips. And also, this is a segue. Before you think, what, this ain't a segue, this is a segue. So Robert Forster this week died, passed away age 78, after a long battle with brain cancer. Probably most well known for his role in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, even though that was something of a resurgence for him. And it did earn him an Oscar nomination. I recently watched a video where he was talking about how he got that role. So apparently he read for Reservoir Dogs, and he used to sit in this restaurant in must have been in LA or somewhere like that. He used to sit in this restaurant every day, and apparently Quentin Tarantino started coming in, chatting to him. And then one day he gave him the script to Jackie Brown. The rest is history. Now, the reason this is a segue is because Robert Forster was in Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. So... He's had his own sort of history in genre film. So he's in Alligator. He was in The Kinky Coaches and the Pom Pom Pussycats. Favorite Vigilante, Hollywood Harry, Satan's Princess. So loads. Scanner Cop too.
Yeah, that's my top one. Scanner Cop.
Yeah. And he is in remakes of Rear Window and Psycho. So, and he was recently in El Camino, the Breaking Bad epilogue movie.
Speaking of which, have you watched it?
I have watched it, and I watched it while, unbeknownst to me, Robert Forster had passed away. Found out merely hours later.
Yeah, so I've heard. Have you seen it? I've not seen it yet. I've heard mixed opinions.
Yeah. So yeah, well, we'll get into that when I get into the older what I've watched.
Yeah.
So one more thing, I saw this on Twitter. So Dead Space turned 11. This today.
Did it today. And so I never played all the way through. I got too scared. I was like, the opening part of the first game, you're in a room and you have to run away and there's a thing grabbing at you. It's just like, it's just too much. Just can't do it.
It was very intense. The sound design was amazing on the game to the point where, like, you know, you could just hear everything around you. So it's a creature coming out of a thing. It was literally like, shit, where the fuck? But an interesting little factoid I read was that, so apparently the lead designer on Dead Space said that all the games use the same basic model rig. So adding Isaac, the main character, was simple as importing the model. And apparently the engine was a branch off of Tiger Woods, the games, which was made in the same studio as Dead Space back then. And basically, we've got screenshots of Isaac from Dead Space in a Tiger Woods game, in what looks like a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game, in an NBA game, and something else. But yeah, there we go. That's pretty interesting.
That's cool. I'd like to give that game a proper go at some point.
It's a fantastic trilogy. First one's a bit strange because he's like the silent protagonist, which I always think is a bit odd, isn't it? Mm. Say something. I can't.
He starts talking in the second one then.
Yeah, he starts talking in the second one. He finds finds his voice in the second one.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, yeah. Any other news?
That's it, mate. There was no other news.
Yeah.
There was no other news this week.
Okay, not at all. What did you watch this week?
So, maybe we should both talk about something we've both seen, which is In the Tall Grass.
Okay. Well, I know you didn't like it.
So...
liked it.
So,
was that your favourite film?
It was basically my favourite film. So I put it on quite late, so maybe it wasn't the best time for me to put it on.
Yeah.
I found it really, really dull. So, I mean, let's talk about it first. So it's based on the novella written by Stephen King and Joe Hill, father and son duo. I didn't really know all that much about it. Did you? Had you read it?
No, I've not read it. I've heard it's scary. And, so it's about loads of tall grass and...
There's a tall grass,
big field of tall grass, and it is a really scary concept. Like the idea of it is scary. So it's tall grass, and then as you pass it, you hear someone inside screaming out for you to help them. And as you go in to help them, you can never find your way back out, or people just don't find a way back out.
It's annoying, isn't it?
It is a nuisance. It's a right nuisance.
I've got things to do. I've got places to be. I'm stuck in a bloody tall grass, mate.
Yeah. Also, it's not really believable because no one's got hay fever. Cracking off, if any grass is going to give you hay fever, it's the tall grass.
No one acts or speaks like human beings in this film. Everybody acts and speaks like I don't know, it's video game characters, NPCs.
You say that, I was like, I read your review before I watched it, so my expectations were very, 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 very low, and I thought it was all right.
I mean, my review is literally a sentence.
It's like scathing. Shit.
Shit. Crap. Bloody nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you thought it was all right, did you? Well, there we go. That's where.
So the first hour, I think, is pretty tight. It's a really good mystery. I think, the direction's pretty good. It is slow going, but it still feels like you're kind of curious as it goes through. But then I feel like, and there's some great stuff in the second half. There's weird scenes of there's going to be some light
grass.
Spoilers here.
Weird slight scenes spoilers.
Grass impregnation. The problem is, I think I wish that it stuck with a more time travel esque sci fi bent. But then it seems to go an hour in, and it goes, oh, folk horror is big right now. Let's throw some people chanting with grass face masks into the mix.
I find it almost impossible to follow. Maybe that's just that to my detriment, but I did just find it. I was like, I don't really know what's going on here. I don't know, who am I rooting for in terms of characters? I didn't find anyone particularly. There was some dodgy acting, especially there was a kid in it who seemed to... I mean, Patrick Wilson's always great, right? No matter what he's in.
Patrick Wilson's a national treasure.
A national treasure, yeah.
Yeah.
And an international treasure. So yeah. I can't select Patrick Wilson for anything. In this, but everyone else kind of just got on my tits a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked it. I think I went three stars or something like that. I think it was all right. I do kind of feel like it's the same thing with most Netflix films. It needed a proper edit. It needed about 20 minutes chopping out, and it could have been really tight. And but it's like they just know that they don't have to fit movie theater schedules or something. So they sort of feel two and a half hours long, whatever you want to make it.
Two and a half hours. But, the thing is, this was only an hour and 40, and it felt longer than that. So possibly, again, that's the film.
Just make it like an hour long.
Make it 14 minutes long. as a short film, it would have been.
Yeah.
Great.
What
else?
Did you see? So I watched Spring, which is by the guide. I can't remember the code now. Aaron Jensen, something. What a guy who made The Endless. Seems like a similar budget. So kind of not a big budget, kind of quite a small budget. And it's about a guy, and it's got the same kind of vibe to it. It's got a very naturalistic drama, and it's about a guy whose mum has died, and he breaks someone's nose in the opening part of the film. So he says, "I'm going to go to." He's got anger issues, and he goes, "I'm going to go to Spain, and I'm going to go traveling around." There's some English people in it who were like super English lads sort of thing. Yeah, they're almost unbearable. But then they kind of leave it. But so this guy, he meets a girl in this little Spanish town, and they hit it off, and it's all good. But then something's not quite right about this girl. She's not quite human. And then it's about... So that kind of stuff is not too interesting. But then they do start to play with like history, and they start to suggest that different artworks and stuff were inspired by this woman throughout the ages. And it's all right. I actually think it's quite sweet. It's not scary. It's not like dark in any way. It's kind of like a lovely romantic horror film. Lovely romantic, not a comedy, romantic drama horror, something like that.
Dramara. Is this on Netflix?
Shudder.
Yeah. Is this on Netflix?
yeah, it's on Shudder.
All right.
What about you?
Okay, nice. So I also watched a film called Parasite, directed by Bong. Directed by Bong Joon-ho. For a second, sorry, I forgot his name for a second. Directed by Bong Joon-ho, who's a bit of a genre. Jumps about in terms of the kind of genre films he makes, doesn't he? But I think I've seen most of his major releases, so except maybe Okja, which I think is on Netflix, but it's like The Host, Mother, Memories of Murder, and then Snowpiercer.
Yeah,
so I heard a lot of good things about this. I heard it was like a near masterpiece, that it was, you know.
Oh God, here we go. He's setting it up.
Amazing.
But.
And, you know, it was absolutely, it was great. It's sort of like a dark, a dark comedy, so like a black comedy slash drama slash thriller. It's hard to say much about it without spoiling anything, but essentially you've got a poor down and out family who become entwined in the lives of a very well off rich family, and chaos ensues, I could only say. But this is like visually, and I mean Snowpiercer was great, but visually this was one of Bong Joon-ho's best. I am struggling. Bong Joon-ho. I was going to say something else. I was going to say Bong Joon Jibido. Yeah. So Bong Joon-ho, considering like all the cinematography takes place mainly like in interiors and sort of like Korean streets and stuff. So it's very different to sort of anything he's done before. Even though it kind of reminds me of Memories of Murder a little bit, because it did have that sort of comedy element in it.
So the vibes I'm getting are like... what's his name? Yorgos Lanthimos. Whatever, the guy who did The Lobster and...
A little bit. Okay. A little bit, yeah. I wouldn't say quite as bizarre as that. But yeah, it's great. It's got a really good cast. It's really tense as well in places where you're just like, oh my God, just somebody please. But yeah, I'd highly recommend it. Probably up there. I reckon it's probably up there in maybe my top five of the year so far.
Nice. Have you got like a running total in your head of what the top?
Yeah. I think I know what my top five are currently.
Oh man, I need to work that out. I don't know what mine are. And is what 2019 or like the like fresh? Like
2019. Okay. 2019.
Okay.
I can't really. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So what else did I watch? I went to a film screening last Thursday. They're playing a short film of mine. And also Moon, the Duncan Jones film, from 2005 or 2004. From ages ago, like 15 years ago, which I was not expecting.
Surely not. Really? Yeah. Right, I'm going to guess. I thought it was like 2009.
Nope. It's like 2005, I think. But it's quite an interesting way of doing it, because the space was quite open and echoey. They had like silent disco headphones. You put whatever music you want to listen to, and like no one else can, you can't hear anyone else or anything like that. So everyone sort of tuned into the channel, the film, and everyone's watching it. And there's something really fantastic about that. It was like really sort of everyone like really focused the ear on the screen, and everyone was sort of really into it. There's a bit where I heard someone coughing somewhere. but it's so far away and it was so like reverberated, it kind of added to the atmosphere. But the film, I loved it before. With the film,
you could have done that if you wanted to, couldn't you? Oh, yeah, bloody, you dirty git.
But I mean, the film, I've always liked it, but now, like wearing headphones and in that sort of atmosphere, I was getting really emotional. Sam Rockwell playing the two different characters when they're coming to terms with the fact that they're not the original guy. It's a great film. I think it has dated a little bit because there's a lot of weird fades between scenes, and I kind of feel like that doesn't fly anymore. People don't like that. They like to linger on the show.
I'm sorry to kick you. I don't mean to kick you in the dick, Lou, but it does seem like it did come out in 2009.
I beg your pardon?
I honestly don't mean to kick you in the dick, but...
No, yeah, 2009. I must have had it in my head.
Maybe
wrong.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Do you think maybe it's a film that's just kind of... Do you think it's supposed to be one of those films that's kind of like supposed to feel a bit more like classic sci-fi? That's the reason why we've got those fades and other things in.
I don't know, but it still does date it a little bit. I feel like nowadays it'd be that they'd linger on the shot and it'd just be a quick cut, like it'd be a chop. But it does.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fades. It's fades to black, tons all the time. And so maybe they're going for that. I don't know. But it's a fantastic film. Like, can't beat it.
Oh yeah,
well, you can. I haven't
seen it in a while. You can't beat it. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. No. But if you do, then you know.
Don't.
There we go.
Yeah, if you do, don't.
But Keith was shown in front of that, right? So you did an intro and...
Yeah, yeah. Got a little bit nervous for some reason. There wasn't that many people there.
Sweaty palms?
I think I get shaky palms. I think, that's what happens to me. But it was all right. What can you do?
Where can everybody find Keith if they want to watch it?
Online.
Good answer. There we go. It's online, guys.
Search Keith. And then Luke Condor, VK.
I think it's on Vimeo. I think we've got it on. Have we got it on YouTube as well?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not got that many views on YouTube. But
there we go. If you're listening now, mate, get it to bloody go over to YouTube and find it. Get a views up.
There is some cool posters as well, which they made.
Yeah, they look cool.
Yeah.
Oh my! One of them, Luke.
So I'm gonna get some. Like, I'm gonna get like a batch of them. And nice. Sell them for a massive profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15, 45 quid each.
Yeah. Okay. That's it, other than like tonight's film.
Tonight's film.
I've not watched yet. Other than what we're talking about tonight. What about you? Anything else?
No, that's it. Okay. Just this one, mate.
Martyrs.
So, yes.
I just want to say Ben Scaife mentioned it in a Facebook group a little while ago. He said, has anybody seen Martyrs? What are your thoughts on it? And I think he chased it up a week ago or so and said, guys, what's cracking here? You haven't done Martyrs yet.
Yeah.
And it's always been on the cards. It's always been on the cards. But, mate, Martyrs.
Yeah. So, Martyrs is a 2008 horror film written and directed by Pascal Laugier, starring Morgana Alloy and Mylène Jean-Panouy. It premiered at the 2008 Cannes Film Festival and was released in France on the 3rd of September 2008. So, a young woman's quest for revenge against the people who kidnapped and tormented her as a child leads her and a friend, who also a victim of child abuse, on a terrifying journey into a living hell of depravity.
Mm. Yeah.
Yum.
Juicy film. Lots of red. I don't know. I'm trying to make a joke around the word tomatoes, but I can't find it. I'll find it later on.
Tomatoes. Yeah. I got you.
Okay, so 59% Rotten Tomatoes. 59%. That's fucking bullshit. 68% user score. 7.1 out of 10 IMDb. Mate, have you seen it before?
No, so I haven't seen it before. I've kind of seen it always mentioned. So the thing is, I've seen it always mentioned alongside things like Hostel and other things as being like a shock. Torture porn and all that stuff, and I never really got entirely into that wave of films when they came and went. I kind of avoided most of them, not because I'm of the queasy sort, but I kind of just you know.
They tend most to be of it was bit, like a bit flat. It's like something not quite. Yeah.
It didn't always feel entirely like horror to me. It almost felt like just exactly what it was, you know, just gruesome torture porn. Lack of story for me, even though, I mean, I think I've seen the original Hostel, but I didn't see Hostel Part 2.
Yeah.
And I'd seen sort of screenshots from this and, you know, blood-soaked faces and things, and I kind of thought, I kind of know what I'd be getting with that, so
yeah.
Probably don't need to watch it. But no, it was a little bit different to that. It wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Yeah.
What about you? Have you seen it before?
Yeah, yeah. And even still, I had to watch some bits like through my fingers, because this film holds no punches, no hammers, skin flaying. This film, I feel like it's the last word in violent horror. Like, because not only is this film incredibly violent and uses it as part of like the big story mechanic is the violence and the horror, and it does it effectively, but it's also like the core theme of the story about violence and about making people suffer for your own sort of transcendence, to give yourself something more.
Yeah.
So I feel like the theme and everything about it is so on point. Like, it knows exactly what it's trying to do, and it does it so effectively. I don't think any film has ever quite hit me like this film.
I mean,
for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just a completely hopeless film. It's hopeless, cold, I want to say heartless, because it does kind of feel heartless, I guess. Like, are there anyone in this film really with, well, I guess there's one character with what you would essentially call redeeming qualities, and obviously you understand why other characters act the way they do, because they've been put through such hell, literal hell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was shocked by some moments, but because I kind of knew what to, because I felt like I knew what to expect.
Yeah.
It was a bit like, oh, right, some of this is it. Oh, some of that as well.
We're going to, but were you expecting the film to go where it did?
Not necessarily, but at the same time, I don't know if I am quite, you know, I don't know if I understand why the film decided to go there. B, I understand the point of it. And C, I don't know. I don't understand what message is trying to convey, or what, you know, what we're supposed to believe from this. It seems a little bit abstract, the idea of what, especially what, I guess I don't want to reveal exactly what happens in the end now, but I don't understand the motives, I guess, of a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. Well, we can get into it and chat a little bit about it.
Oh, do we bloody have to, mate?
So, okay. So this film stars two main martyrs, two main women. Mylène Jean-Penoy as Lucy Jurin. I think she's the one who becomes the second martyr. I can't remember. Morjana Alloui as Anna Assoui. Is that right?
So Lucy, I believe, is the main girl who we see escape at the start. Anna is her friend who is a bit in love with her as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
Well, okay, so I mean, there's not a huge amount of like twisty plot points in this film, so we might sort of breeze through this pretty quick. But it starts off with a young girl escaping from some horrific factory, and she's sort of in her pants, which is never good. And she's got a bad haircut, and she's sort of running, and she's like, it's quite horrific. And then she's screaming, and then we get like the martyr's title card, and then I think we get like a bit of a montage of sequence of stuff where she's young and she's saved by someone. They go back to where she'd been held, and they're like, there's this chair. She was handcuffed to the chair. No one knows how she got out, but she's okay now. Her hair's fine now, and she's wearing clothes again. That's all good. She's got go on.
She was pissing in a bucket. She was fed. Yeah. She's fed what looks like butterscotch angel delight, like over and over and over.
Yeah.
Can't complain. Yeah, you can't count yourself lucky. So the perpetrators and the people who like kept her there and their motivations sort of remain a mystery.
Yeah.
So she never knows. Nobody knows, and she's kind of, as she grows up in this orphanage, with this girl who's sort of like her only friend. she's clearly plagued by visions and sort of, well, yeah, it's hard to say whether it's visions or hauntings or just, you know, PTSD.
Yeah.
PTSD? PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, there's a bit at the end, like the bit at the end of the starting sequence where I think Anna isn't looking, and if she goes back and finds Lucy, she's got cuts all over, and we're led to believe that she cuts herself, but she also sees, there's also a weird one where she sees some creature woman like scuttling around like a little insect or something. So like it's, and she, yeah, and Anna.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Lucy says that it's not her. She hasn't cut herself. This other woman has. So then I think we cut to a little bit later, and we're introduced to this sort of very normal family in a very nice French house. We've got a young brother and a sister chasing each other around. There's a bit where the mum is sorting out plumbing outside or something, and she brings in this dead mouse. It's all playful. She's like dangling in people's faces.
chucks it on the on the table. Whoever is having a bit of breakfast, yeah. I think. How rude of you!
How rude. Yeah. The dad is eating his toast, stuffing his mouth with toast. Classic dad move. That. And,
Would you like a piece of toast, Dad? Yeah. Dad.
Classic dad.
Yeah,
so it's all going great as far as like family breakfasts go. It's up there in the top, yeah, 10 breakfasts of the year.
100%. Is it? Oh my, yeah.
But then, yep, then there's a knock at the door. It's never good, especially in a horror movie. And they open the door, and the mother opens the door, then the dad opens the door.
Yeah,
toast in his mouth. She blows the toast right out of his stomach. she has this shotgun. That's the most powerful shotgun I've ever seen in my life.
It's like a shotgun from like a zombie game. Shotgun from Doom. Yeah, exactly. So basically, blows a hole in the dad, and immediately goes in and just starts laying waste to everybody. Blows a hole in the wife, and shoots her in the back.
Yeah.
Then goes into the kitchen, has a little bit of an exchange with the son. Didn't she say something like, "How old are you? How old are you?"
She says that, and he says, "Do you know what your parents did?"
Oh yeah.
And then he's like, "Eight toasts."
And then eight toasts. And he goes, "How old are you?" And he says, 18. And she goes, "Fuck you, then." Boom. She shoots him in the belly.
Yeah.
And then she hunts down the younger
like an
daughter.
Elmer Fudd moment where she's sort of like sneaking around with a shotgun. This bit is pretty harsh. I mean, the girl's like 15 or something. She shoots a hand or something initially through the bed, and then like when she runs away, she shoots him, and they kind of fly across the room. It's horrific. Yeah. It's horrendous. Yeah,
it is horrific. It's like proper. There's a few moments in this that kind of really made me go ooh, and yeah, one of them was the killing of this girl. I mean, the rest of them, the parents, the son, I was a bit like, yeah, fucking have it, yeah, you kid. Of the girls, be like, oh, leave her alone.
Leave it at, mate.
Leave
the shotgun bullets at, the good mate. And then so she's like, oh, bugger, I've killed everyone. I don't know if I meant to do that. Somewhere else, yeah, Anna is eating like a Subway sandwich.
It's like me directing a French film. She was eating a baguette, sat in a Mini Cooper. Just like...
Yeah.
She with a Thierry Henry France 98 football shirt on. She only has a little nibble. Oh, the phone's going. Sling that. Oh,
that's a waste. Just wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up and save it.
And littering. And she litters.
Maybe the most horrific moment of this film was which that...
It was the moment where I've heard people walked out when that when that bit was shown.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Again.
So the baguette, I guess, it stays on the floor, and we never find out.
Exactly. That's, I mean, maybe that a spin-off sequel. We'll find that out.
Yeah, tomatoes sandwich.
Oh yeah, there we go. You're waiting for that. You got your moment. Okay.
So then So she gets a phone call from Anna and from Lucy, and she's like, "Where are you?" And she goes, "I've done a mass murder.
You've done what? I've done a mass murder. Fucking hell."
So, Anna in a car, in a little Mini Cooper, all the way to the house.
Real one.
Yeah. And then she goes in. At this point, I think Lucy's already seeing the creature woman running around, and she's like, "No, I killed them. Don't hurt me." But this woman is this creature woman is like, it's like chamois leather has come to life, and it's sort of flapping around. Groaning, she's like making
Gollum
noises. Yeah,
Gollum with a really bad skin condition.
Yeah,
and Gollum's probably not got a softer skin anyway, but very Gollum, and it's shot quite well. We don't get really a good look at this woman for a while. It's just limbs and you know, cutting, and she kind of like pins Lucy down and stabs her in the back.
Yeah, she gets that straight razor, which belongs to Lucy. The weird thing is that, like, how is she stabbing herself in the back? Like, is that the creature? Because it's like really in the middle of the back. It's quite. I can't even scratch, you know, the top bits.
Yeah. Let alone slice your own back in half with a razor.
Yeah, yeah. So she's fighting off this creature sort of thing, trying to stay away from it, hiding in a cupboard, gets she lets her hand out, and like, it's like that moment in Green Room where, yeah, I guess a Green Book, where get the hand out, and she starts stabbing the hand. It's gruesome, it's really gruesome. So, throughout all of this, Anna doesn't believe that this is a creature thing. She thinks it's all in Lucy's head, And she thinks that Lucy's done a big murder, but she still loves her. Fancy, I think she goes in for a kiss at one point, but Anna's like, "What are you doing?"
Anna said, "No, no, sorry, Lucy. Lucy's the one you're thinking of. Come on, mate.
Okay, right. Come on, mate."
Moon was made in 2004. I'm gonna have to find someone else to do this podcast with.
You don't come to me for facts, mate. Names.
Come to me for all the vague ideas, all right? That's all you need.
I've got a little app that records the conversation. That's all you need me for.
What's weird about this is that, you know, she's just done a massive murder, and the thing that Lucy is like a little bit annoyed by is the fact that she goes to kiss her on the lips.
Yeah.
Like, literally done a massive murder, and she goes...
Leave it out. Yeah. It's too much for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little bit annoying.
There's many moments in this film. There's many moments in this film where, make sure we're the right one, Anna could have just called the police or called someone, but she doesn't. And this point, okay, but a bit later on, I'm like, you would have called someone at this point.
Yeah, maybe, but I almost feel like, has she not sort of been involved too much? That I also get the sort of impression that she wants to sort of go along with it because she loves Lucy, and no matter what crazy shit she does,
she always gets crazy shit, that Lucy.
She's always like, "Oh, bloody hell, but I love her. I just want to kiss.
Let's stay up past 11. She's like, "Let's murder some families." Sure. So
why not?
So she started, I think they're kind of trying, there's lots of things going on. She tries to bury the bodies. At one point we find out that the mum's still alive. That's quite a nice little shocking moment in the mirror. Her eyes open.
I was a bit confused by that though, because she'd been she would have bled out, surely, wouldn't she? I don't know.
I think she mostly has. But
yeah.
As the she's dragging her out, Anna Lucy finds out and then gets like a giant hammer and just smashes her face off. Like it's brutal. Like she doesn't stop for ages. She's sort of whacking it away.
Smashes her crust to yeah. death. So yeah, there's a pretty horrible bit here where like, oh wait, actually I think it's afterwards. So I was just about to say, okay. Yeah, so not long after that, Lucy commits suicide, right?
Well, yeah, so she has a big fight with the creature whilst Anna's yeah. doing something. I can't remember what she's doing. But like, from
smashing her head against the wall and stuff, yeah.
From Lucy's perspective, it's quite emotional. There's a weird thing, because like, I think she realises she's never going to be over the pain. The music's quite nice and gothic and sort of sad. and then she gets like a straight razor and just like slowly cuts her veins all the way from like top shoulder to fingertip.
Yeah, of course.
Can you hear that? There's a motorbike going by. Excuse me.
Is that the Hell's Angels coming to do you in, mate?
Yeah.
What have you done? You owe her money again? Jesus.
Can you hear that? Okay. It's mid-belly. So then what's her name? Lucy dies, but not before jumping out the glass window. And Anna, like, I think she stays for the night or something. She sort of cleans the body, cleans the wounds, dresses it up, and whatever. She says her goodbyes. Doesn't know what to do. And then at some point, she hears a noise in the house. And she's like, "What the chuff is that?" And then I think she just finds a hole in the wall and explores it.
Yeah. So it's just like a cabinet, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes down and she finds in the dark, there's like a wall. It's like a laboratory sort of environment, like a vet. Looks like a bit like yeah. a vet.
It looks like a laboratory you'd find at the end of like a survival horror game, you know, just the final area. Where you're going to yeah. find where all the creatures are made and shit.
And there's pictures on the walls of different people very near to death in various states.
Like ones, these look like real photos to me.
I think they might be. Like the ones, yeah. like there's one of like a starving person. And it's like that. I'm yeah. sure they've seen that. Like as a.
Yeah. Like a lot of people who are like, yeah, even near death or, you know, in the middle of some sort of torture or physical pain of some sort. Yeah, it's all pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah, and then she goes to a little room and she finds a woman very similar to the ghoul that Lucy was seeing. She's very, very skinny, chamois creased, and...
One bit would be that we did find out that the ghoul that Lucy was seeing was when she escaped from the laboratory in the start. She did sort of go into another room and see this woman who looked like that ghoul, and she left her. As you would, you know, it's her only chance to escape. She left her, so she's obviously been haunted by the guilt of that.
Yeah. So this other woman, I can't remember what her name is. Anna is like, oh God, this Lucy was right. This family are kidnapping people and torturing them or whatever.
Yeah.
So she did the right thing. So then she starts cleaning this woman up. She gives her a bath. Too hot, I think, at one point. She's like, oh.
So yeah. But yeah, I think we need, so this woman's name's Sarah.
Right.
And she's obviously chained up. She's super, super skinny, mostly naked. She's wearing some sort of like metal bodice thing.
Yeah.
Metal pants and then like a sort of metal pair of massive 80s sunglasses. But it's just it's just like a massive metal thing, and there's a metal thing going across her head.
Yeah.
And this is pretty pretty gruesome, because when she's giving her a bath, she starts taking that thing out of her head.
So that's the point. And I was like, why would you do that without like local anesthetic, without just calling, just take her to the doctor, just go and drop her off at the doctor's. You don't have to give yourself in, just like drive to the hospital, shove her out the door, and they can do it. They can put her under and they can surgically remove it. She just gets like a fucking flathead screwdriver, starts popping it out like it's
And it's pretty horrible when it comes off, because obviously she's bald underneath there. It looks like she's got a skullet under there.
Devin Townsend under there, pretty much, yeah.
Devin Townsend's under there. But all her skin is like, obviously, all all it underneath is all soft and worn away, and it does look pretty legit, doesn't it? Because the rest of the the rest of the you all right? The rest of the the rest of the her skin looks just messed up, you know. You know when like it looks like, you know, when you've had your hands in the bath for too long.
Yeah.
Wrinkly and wet. A bit. It's horrific, man. That's it's the same going through that is the same as what she's been through, right?
Yeah, it's almost as bad.
Yeah.
So she gets this woman out and she can see, but as soon as she's like free of this stuff and she can see again, she starts like trying to saw her own arm off with like this kitchen knife, and then she starts rubbing her face, like, you know, when like a dog's got an itchy butt and they sometimes just grind a butt against a tree or something. She's like that with her face against the wall. And as she's trying to stop her from doing all this stuff, she just gets shot in the head. Like a bullet comes from somewhere.
I was massively confused by this moment initially, weren't you? I was like, what the hell's going on, man?
Yeah. And there's like people
so she gets her
black suits and stuff. Yeah.
Literally just gets her bloody metal sunglasses off and her head's free. Her head's probably feeling the lovely cool air for the first time in years. And suddenly she just gets a bullet in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're introduced to this sort of secret society of people who they take the bodies out. They start burying all the bodies just all in one shallow grave, and then they say to Anna, they hang.
Yeah, that bit was pretty gruesome. I think all the bodies going in a shallow grave, all the bodies sort of like all on top of each other.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty gruesome.
Yeah. So they get Anna and they say there's a woman called Mademoiselle. She's right mad, and they she's like, I'm a. She explains like martyrs, and she explains the photos, and they say, if you push someone to the edge of suffering, they can start to see things. They start to see things from after death, and that's what they do. They make martyrs of people, martyrs in the sense of witnesses, of people who witness things.
I was afraid. I was like, is that what a martyr is? What she's explaining? I mean, it is, but in like the loose, in a very loose term, right?
Yeah. Well, normally martyrs don't like aren't alive. They sort of die and then. Yeah. So then they don't explain what's going to happen, but it becomes pretty apparent that like they're going to do this to Lucy. And I think this is it Lucy or Anna?
Well, it's Anna.
Anna. Then this next, like, see, this is like an hour in, so like there's another hour left. And this, like, next 40 minutes or so is just horrendous. Like, it's just a systematic beating down of a woman's spirit. And this is our hero with the story, in a way.
So we're made to think that there's this, like, secret society who do these experiments on people, and they've been doing these experiments on people for years. First of all, who's funding it? Second of all, how do you, like, considering what their, like, success rate has been so minimal, is someone not going,
this might not work.
This might not work.
Yeah.
You know, like, and also it almost, because it seems like the conclusion of this film, not wanting to jump ahead, but the conclusion of this film basically suggests that what somebody finds out is almost too much. So are we made to think that even though it's been going on for like 30 years, we're made to think that, you know, they've got no answers in that time, but they're still doing it? Because it's highly illegal shit for what is essentially no reward, unless, you know, people are enjoying the torture of these people.
Well, maybe there's that as well. So they... Anna, Lisa?
Anna.
Okay, so Anna, they put her in a room, they put her in handcuffs. A bold guy comes in every day and beats the shit out of her. Like, to the point where it's just like, that's a bit much, mate.
To the point where you're like, head injury. She'd have a head injury, bleeding on the brain, probably die. Or, you know, not be able to make sense. This is another thing. Like, if people are supposed to be get pushed towards the edge of suffering and they transcend and they see shit, how can you tell that the stuff that they're saying that they see isn't like just the fact that they've got a horrific brain injury? And, you know? I mean, all of this makes more sense than what is essentially them going, apparently something can see the afterlife or something. One of them's got like bleeding from the eyes, but she goes, I'll see the bloody afterlife. Yeah, let's carry on with this.
Well, they feed her that butterscotch, Angel Delight. She doesn't like it at first, but I think she gets a taste for it.
I prefer strawberry.
Not mixed
he
it
says.
Properly. Yeah, it's still powdery.
Yeah.
So then they get better at mixing the Angel Delight, and they beat her up, and they cut her hair, and she really doesn't like the hairstyle because she's like really crying.
Yeah. They give her a flock of seagulls.
Yeah. So then this goes on for this is like a 30-minute sequence, I think, and it just really sort of grinds her down, and it just and then it's at one point where like the music becomes quite somber and like relaxing, and it's like she's accepted that this is her life now. Like she's just gonna get beaten up, she's gonna get eaten sludge, and that's it. And she's gonna made to piss her pants every day. It's like near the end of that where they're like, okay, there's only one more test for you, and then it's all going to be over for you. And then the big man, Big Bob, ties her up to like a sex thing or other. I don't know what you'd even call that thing. Like what? It's like
it's almost like a it looked Ronnie or something that they used to train astronauts like back in the day. And they put you in the spinny ball and then spin it around loads so you can get used to the G force and stuff. It looked like that, but no, he doesn't do that. Doesn't give her a bit of G force. He basically skins her, flays her.
Alive. It's interesting that like it shies away from showing that. Like this film hasn't really shied away from anything else, but we don't see any cutting. We just see him get some scissors, and it sort of shows her face, and she's like, "Ooh,
bloody hell, that stings! That does, oh, it bloody stings!"
But they flay her, all but the face, like little face region.
I guess that's so they can read her emotions.
Just recognize her. Who are you again?
Yeah. Unless they flay all of her and they go, oh no, we got six of the flayed ones out there. I can't tell you which one's which.
Yeah, they keep that as like a tag, sort of like a serial number or something. So then they, once they flay her, they stick her up to like a thing so she's in a proper martyr pose. And then she sees something. Her eyes do that looking up thing. And then we go into the eye, and it's like she's seeing, going through some sort of transcendent state.
So we're made to think that she's in like a euphoric state of, you know, something here. She's been had the shit kicked out of her for so long that now she's just gone, oh, bloody lovely this is.
So I've got to say, Mademoiselle said everyone starts to experience different levels of stuff. So the ghoul that Lucy saw, we can either take that as being her PTSD, her guilt, or we can take it as part of her martyrdom that's given her these visions of this sort of afterlife sort of thing. She said the other woman, Sarah, saw cockroaches on her skin constantly, and that's why she was kind of trying to rub them off. And then we don't find out what Anna sees. But they're like, she's doing fantastic. She's done such a great job. She's still alive for one thing. That's incredible. And then they have a big party. They have a buffet.
Before that, Mademoiselle, she basically tells her something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they put in a salt bath, and then she whispers something to Mademoiselle's ear, and then they have the party. Party poppers, mini pizzas, all the standard stuff. Disco crisps.
Yeah, all of that shit.
There's a DJ who's banging on. It's like, not yet, mate. We need to hear what Mademoiselle's going to say. So there's a guy who goes to Mademoiselle. She's like taking off her eyelashes and stuff, and she's getting dressing down. And then he's like, is there anything, what did she tell you? Is there an afterlife? And she's like, what she said left no room for doubt. And then she says, keep doubting. And then shoots herself in the head and kills herself. So whatever Anna has said, it's a difficult one because it leaves so much sort of room for interpretation, because what, has she described something so beautiful and amazing that she's like, I need to die now? Has she removed some essential?
So terrible.
Yeah, removed some essential mystery. Go on.
You remember that the video for Just by Radiohead when there's a guy laying on the floor and they go, what are you lying on a bloody floor for? And eventually he whispers into one of their ear, tells them what he's lying, what he's lying on the floor, and then they all lie down as well. It's something like that, I reckon, which is... well, essentially, you know, it's open to interpretation. So it's either something so amazing that you're like, well, you know, life beyond death is, you know, free of everything, free of pain, full of free of suffering, and she's seen it and she's gonna get there.
Or has Thingy been like, yeah, there's nothing. And she's like, keep doubting because all this horrific stuff we've done over the years has been has amounted to nothing. I can't live.
You think you could say that before the end, couldn't you? Just go, all this has been a waste of fucking time to save some, because otherwise they're going to keep on doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe they'd be like, whatever way to interpret it is, all the options, all the answers point to us stopping doing this. Because, I don't know if there's an answer that she could have gave to the man Roselle that would make people want to continue doing it. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I quite enjoy this film. Because I feel like it just gives you enough to sort of ponder on. And it sort of tells a complete story. But there's still quite a lot of mystery there. And I enjoy that. But, man, I've got some trivia for you.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So, number one, Pascal Laugier has stated he was inspired by 2005's Hostel, but instead of making a movie about suffering, he said he wanted to make a movie about what?
Instead of making a movie about suffering, he wanted to make a movie about... fun. He wanted to make a movie about good feelings.
So he said instead of making a movie about suffering, he wanted to make a movie about pain. Number two. What was one of the biggest difficulties working with the actresses?
They both had terrible flatulence. No, was it something to do with one of them didn't speak the same language?
No, it was very difficult to keep the actresses crying all the time.
That would be difficult. You run out of tears after a while.
You're dehydrated. It's dangerous stuff. Number three, in 2015, there was a US remake. Martyrs. And can you tell me what the Rotten Tomatoes critic score is for the remake?
12%.
That's close. That's close. It's 9%.
Jesus.
Hey, it's not good.
Thank God. No. What's this happened?
Number four. Even though the movie is supposed to take place in France, a francophone, which I guess is someone who can tell French accents really well, can tell that most of the actors are what? Pricks. Most of the actors are what?
Canadian, French Canadian.
Yeah, Quebecers, it says here, passing as French people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Quebecers.
Number five. Who is the most ashamed of the Martyrs remake?
Jesus. You? maybe the director.
So the American remake was by Blumhouse Productions. Blumhouse Productions usually promote their own movies on their official website, but this is the one movie that they finance and produce that they don't put a trailer, no stills, no press kits on their website at all. They distance themselves from it completely, which is...
They really, really dropped the ball, didn't they?
Yeah.
Unlucky.
Well done, that's 5 out of 5. You need to rate the film, man. And I could tell where you're leaning. I think it's going to be a high 10?
It's going to be a high 10. See, I was kind of into it. I kind of thought, you know, but I think by the time this final act comes into it, as brutal and as distressing as it is, it kind of felt a bit pointless to me. I didn't quite believe what this society were trying to do or understand what they were trying to do. I mean, I understand what they're explaining that they're trying to do, but I don't understand the point. And I kind of felt like it needed... I mean, as I said, this film is a hopeless film. It's very cold, it's heartless. And I think none more so than in this final third, where it does just kind of go, well, this is hopeless. This character, who's essentially our protagonist at this stage, is just going to be tortured to death. And there's no real way for her to get out of it. And, oh, that's all right, though, because she's in a euphoric transcendent state at the end. Perhaps we needed to see something like a dream sequence or something that she was seeing, you know, a vision of something. Or maybe we needed to understand what she was seeing more so. And I think that would have had more of an impact. Unfortunately, because of that, it had no impact for me. And I felt a little bit shortchanged come the end. And a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. And it wasn't Butterscotch Angel Delight.
It was
shit flavored Angel Delight, which isn't quite as nice. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to go pretty low on this, even though I know it's a bit of a cult classic and a lot of people are big on it. I'll go for a C-.
That's cold. Ooh. That's cold, man.
That's cold. That's heartless. That's no better than the guys torturing them.
Okay, so I do get what your grievances are. But I don't feel like it's it's not really a logical film. I kind of feel like it's more about the metaphor of it all. And I feel like it's really well made. It kind of comes in with a point that you're never going to find a film that's as violent and brutal, not in just the gore and stuff, but in the way it treats its characters. And I feel like it's got I like the ending. I think the ending's cool because... I don't know, it just raises certain questions and it leaves a nice taste in my mouth. So man, I don't know, man, this is one of like very rare ones where we kind of disagree. I'm gonna go with A-. I think it's really well made, really great film.
Did you say A-?
A minus, yeah, a big minus.
Wait, did you say A-?
A-, yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. That's got to be like the biggest difference of rating we've ever given a film on this podcast, right? I think so. We've ever been. Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. Maybe you just love. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe you love seeing women tortured. I don't know. Just left a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. Come the ending, but I can understand.
Yeah. Well,
why you'd enjoy it? Because I think, as I said, I think the first act, the second act, both are pretty good. It was just the third act for me just undid everything that I enjoyed about it, you know?
I think it elevated it for me. So there must be some sort of dissonance there between us. But that's fine. I was going to say, we did touch on the fact that this is part of the new French extremism film movement.
Yeah.
So High Tension was part of that. Frontier. Yeah. I've not seen Frontier. Inside. There's a lot of these films that sort of... The whole point of them is to be extreme horror.
I loved High Tension as well. That really, really did do it for me, even though that's got a twist and it was essentially a bit controversial.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to watch more of these films. I feel like they're... like you can't just casually watch these films. They sort of shake you and draw you in. But yeah, man. So I guess next time... what we do next? Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Invasion of the Booty Snatchers.
Booty Sniffers. Right, okay, cool. Have you got anything else you want to let people know?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I'll save it to next week.
Okay, I was just going to ask people in the Facebook group, because this is the biggest divide, I'd be interested to what other people's ratings are. Maybe I'm going in too high.
Maybe you're going in too high. Maybe I'm going in too low. Maybe we need to find a happy medium. But where's the fun in that?
Yeah. Okay. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron of it. patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. There's a nice handy podcast link that the Ben's made called podlink.com/horror hangout, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, I'll share it on the group. So I think it's pod.link/horror hangout, so that leads you basically to every single platform that we're on, so you can choose your favorite rather than me sharing upteen links every time we share
cool. Thanks to Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating or review on iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right-hour dude.
Thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure as always.
Good man. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.